Gary, we've been talking about this Team North America, this under 23 deal. Of all the new ideas that were pitched for this World Cup of Hockey, was the Team North America kind of cult following as successful as any of the other technologies that were offered?
I think if you think about the energy and the excitement that accompanied the North American team, both in the building and outside, there's no doubt that it struck a chord and was unbelievably well received. In fact, I assume one of the reasons Bob doesn't feel well was we had a long debate a few weeks ago. He kept telling me he hated the concept before the tournament even started, and I think he was avoiding me today so we wouldn't have to deal with that issue. My tongue is in my cheek, obviously.
I was going to say, that's not a gloat, is it? I mean,
No. We're just having a little fun, as we do with each other. But more importantly, what Team Europe and Team North America represented was making this the most competitive international tournament ever, because there's no dispute that the 7th and 8th country teams would not have been as competitive as the North American team or Team Europe. And from a Team Europe standpoint, what we're hearing is it's had a huge impact in the eight countries that are represented. And the players from that team said yesterday that back home, this is important for the growth of hockey. So this made the tournament as big and as exciting and as competitive as we hoped it would be.
It also allowed you to have a pretty good stage today, Gary, when you consider the world's hockey media is all here in Toronto. All here for the final. It starts tonight. And for you to announce the league's plans for the centennial, which officially starts January 1st.
What a coincidence.
What a shock. The question for me is, I don't think anybody had more fun today than you did when you sat with Wayne Gretzky. Tell us what that was like.
Well, so people who are listening and watching will know, we announced our plans for the centennial. We have a lot of events, including outdoor games and all sorts of programming elements, daily vignettes, features, videos. The top 100 players are going to be selected. Those of the top 100 who participated in the first 50 years of the league will be unveiled at the Centennial Classic outdoor game here in Toronto on January 1st, and then the remaining of the 100 players who played in the second 50 years, and it's not necessarily a 50-50 split on numbers, will be unveiled at a gala, black tie gala, in conjunction with the All-Star Game in Los Angeles. We've got events galore. We've got all sorts of programming opportunities for people to connect with the game, and we're going to have a truck tour, which is going to go to at least every NHL market and other places. And Wayne Gretzky is going to be the league's centennial ambassador. And as part of the media veil today, Wayne and I had a conversation about that in front of the media. And he's somebody, putting aside all his records and what a great ambassador for the game he's always been, he's somebody who really respects the history and tradition of the game and couldn't be any more excited about the fact that we're all celebrating 100 years of NHL hockey.
Gary, it was nice that you and Gretzky had the opportunity to speak publicly. Can we talk about the conversation you had prior to this one? Wayne had really distanced himself from the National Hockey League for a number of years in the aftermath of what went down in Glendale. How were you guys able to kiss and make up?
Well, I don't think we ever had to kiss and make up. We've always been on good terms with Wayne, and Wayne has always been an important part of the NHL family without regard to whatever he was doing in his life, whether he was actually working for a team or taking some time off. The notion of him being the ambassador for the centennial was a very brief conversation, because there was no arm twisting, there was no debate. This is something that we were honored and privileged to offer him the opportunity to do, and he embraced it immediately.
Outdoor games. We've talked about the one in Toronto. There's one in St. Louis the next day, a team that's going to celebrate its 50th. Pittsburgh and Philadelphia are going to do one, and talks about what's going to happen in Ottawa at the beginning of next season. Where do they stand?
Well, two things. So people can focus on this the way we do. The centennial year is 2017. Part of the events will be from January on in 2017, which is the 16-17 season, and part of the events will be not only over the summer, but in the beginning parts up until December 31st of the 17-18 season. We've announced the schedule of events relative to games and the like for the 16-17 season. We haven't yet announced the plans for 17-18. We haven't finalized some of those plans, but we are anticipating events of significance in both Ottawa and in Montreal. So we're excited about it, and we are ever respective of the history and tradition, particularly of 2017. It's, as everybody, I think, knows, it's not only the 100th anniversary of the league, it's the 100th anniversary of the Leafs, it's the 125th anniversary of the Stanley Cup, it's 150 years of the Confederation of Canada, and it's 375 years for Montreal.
And don't forget 150 years for Ottawa. I mean, it's
150 years for Ottawa as well.
Gary Bettman, the NHL commissioner, is here. Gary, towards the end of last season, there were reports with the Karmanos family in Raleigh that there were financial issues there. What is the situation going into the season in Carolina? Is that at all a market that the league is keeping its eye on, and is there any concern or worry of what's happening in Raleigh?
Sometimes family issues get contentious and unfortunately get blown up publicly. The Carolina Hurricanes are in good hands under Pete Carmano's ownership. They're not a trouble spot for us, and we're not anticipating anything other than an exciting season with a very good young team that Ronnie Francis has put together. And I believe their season ticket sales are up fairly dramatically over the prior season. So the vital signs there are good, whether or not there's a family issue, that's separate and apart from the club.
And the success of the pre-tournament games for the World Cup in Quebec City have to be positive and a bit of a reinforcement. Not that anybody should be surprised about how hockey's going to be regarded in Quebec City, Gary, even though that how would you describe where things are on hold for Quebec City?
As we said, we deferred the application for a whole host of reasons. This wasn't the right time, and we haven't made any promises other than we continue to be aware of the interest. We know Quebec City has great fans, but the stars have to align for an important, difficult, complex business decision that expansion involves to come out a little differently than they did now. And we continue to remain very aware of the interest. I know there's been speculation following up from the other question, well, Carolina is going to move there. That's not true. That's not going to happen. But we don't anticipate any franchises relocating is really a better way of saying it. But we do know the interest in Quebec City, and perhaps at some other point in time, if the stars align a little bit better, there might be a different result.
With Gary Bettman. Gary, another important complex business decision has to do with the Winter Olympics in 2018. It's hard to believe we're about 18 months away. In the aftermath of this World Cup, where do things sit with the IOC? Where do they sit with the IIHF? And what is the NHL's stance on its players competing in the 2018 Winter Olympics?
Well, two things. One, we as a league have made a decision as to whether or not we want to continue to participate or we want to go to Korea in 2018. The fact that we put on the World Cup and it's been a huge success has nothing to do with that decision. The bigger issue that we're confronting as a preliminary matter is the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, for the last five Olympic participations that we were involved in, paid the expenses. Didn't pay us a profit. We don't make money for going. In fact, we probably lose money, but the basic expenses, insurance, transportation, and all the other attendant things that the players have been given in the past have been paid for either by the organizing committee or the IOC or the IIHF, as however they decide to allocate that. The IOC has indicated that they're not going to pay. And that creates a major problem for the IIHF, who may not be able to afford it on their own. Mm-hmm. And I dare say, without getting into the good or bad reasons of our going to the Olympics, it is disruptive in our season, taking off two weeks to 17 days, probably on the longer side, going halfway around the world to Korea. I dare say that the NHL owners will have no interest in paying for the privilege of shutting down the season in the middle of the season. And so we don't even have to worry about whether or not we should go or not go if they're not even going to pay the expenses. If they decide that they're going to pay the expenses, then we're going to have to evaluate whether or not it makes sense to go. But the threshold issue is who's going to pay for these important elements of player participation.
Your friend Rene Fasel said today that he thought the percentage was up to 50-50 and he was going to have to beg the IOC to pay the $10 million. So.
Well, thanks.
I don't expect you to respond to that. You know he said that long before I told
him. Well, actually, I don't know if it's up to 50-50 or down to 50-50 because I don't know where he was before. And it's actually more than that. I won't give you the exact number, but that number is on the vastly low side.
So just so we're clear, if the IOC and IIHF don't pay the expenses, the insurance, the travel, the rest of it.
I find it hard to envision a scenario where the NHL owners would want to shut down the season to participate in an Olympics where we don't even get to promote the fact that we're there. It's not our tournament. And, you know, it's a lot of... If the IOC doesn't want to pay for us to be there, why should we?
Yeah, no, it's a good point. The other thing is, was there ever a chance that the hockey tournament could be somewhere other than Pyeongchang? Like in Seoul or in Tokyo?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you should raise that. Somebody told me, and this goes in the rumor fact. I don't, the rumor mill. I don't know that it's a fact. Somebody told me that there are really no hotel rooms to speak of in Pyeongchang, and that people have to stay if they're going to the Olympics in Seoul. I'm not sure how the players are going to feel about that if it's true. If their families and guests and friends are basically 2.5 hours away. You know, they say it's an hour and a half bullet train ride, but by the time you get to the train and then you get off the train and you got to clear Olympic security and you go to the venue, you're looking at 2.5 hours. One of the things that worked well in Sochi is most of the players had bicycles. They could ride and go visit their guests, their kids, their spouses, whomever. This wouldn't be that. And if you're anticipating an Olympic experience, if they put the tournament in Seoul, I think part of what is appealing to the players is being part of the Olympic community with all these athletes around the world. If you're off by yourself, if you're going to put the tournament in Seoul, why not put it in Toronto?
Hey, it would work.
It would work. You'd probably sell a ticket or two for that one.
Yeah, but you get the point.
So, absolutely.
I'm not sure, you know, there's a lot of speculation. We still have more homework to do. But again, if nobody is going to pick up the expenses that have been picked up for the last five Olympics because there's a philosophical change of heart at the IOC, I'm not sure what either they or anybody expects of us.